There's something in the heart of God that he always wants to meet with his people. And that's exactly what he did in what we know of as the tabernacle. My name is Chris Montgomery, pastor at Fraser Church, and thank you for joining us on this 8-week journey as we learn how to enter his presence.
Welcome to day 4 of the tabernacle, the bronze altar. T. Desmond Alexander once said, "The altar of burnt offerings was one of the most highly visible features in the courtyard of the portable tabernacle. Because it was situated between the entrance to the courtyard and the doorway that led into the holy place of the sanctuary, no one could come into God's presence without first encountering the sizable altar." Our text today comes from Exodus 27, verses 1 through 8. "You shall make the altar of acacia wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be square, and its height shall be 3 cubits. And you shall make horns for it on 4 corners. Its horn shall be of 1 piece with it, and you shall overlay it with bronze. You shall make pots for it to receive its ashes, and shovels, and basins, and forks, and fire pans. You shall make all of its utensils of bronze. You shall also make for it a grating, a network of bronze, and on the net you shall make 4 bronze rings at its 4 corners. And you shall set it under the ledge of the altar, so that the net extends halfway down the altar. And you shall make poles of the altar, poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with bronze. And the poles shall be put through the rings, so that the poles are on the 2 sides of the altar when it is carried. You shall make it hollow with boards. As it has been shown you on the mountain, so shall it be made." After entering the east gate, the first piece of furniture the Israelites would see was the bronze altar. This altar was located between the gate and the tabernacle proper, but closer to the gate than the sanctuary. The altar was the largest piece of furniture found in the tabernacle. J.V. Fesco provides profound insight into the bronze altar along with a detailed description. "The altar was a square made of acacia wood, like the rest of the tabernacle, though it was covered in bronze, not gold. Scholars state, and rightly so, that the further away from the Holy of Holies you were, the lesser were the values of the metals that were used. In the Holy of Holies and inner tabernacle, everything was covered in gold, which was to symbolize the glory and immediate presence of God, and to remind the Israelites of the heavenly tabernacle. The outer courtyard, however, was a symbolic representation of the earth. Hence, lesser metals, such as bronze, copper, and silver, were used in these portions of the tabernacle. The altar was approximately 7.5 feet square and 4.5 feet tall. It was hollow in the middle and most likely filled with uncut stones and earth. On the top of the altar was a grate made out of bronze. It was on top of this grate that the burnt offerings were placed. There were also 4 protruding corners of the altar that God caused the horns of the altar." In their commentary on Exodus, Philip Ryken and R. Kent Hughes elaborate on the horns found on the bronze altar. "It is not entirely clear what the horns were for. They may simply have been ornamental, or they may have been used for the practical purpose of tying down animals. Then again, the horns may have been symbolic, representing the horns of the animals that were slain there. In the ancient world, the horn was a symbol of strength, and it is sometimes used this way in the Bible. In Psalm 18:2, David said, 'He,' meaning God, 'is the horn of my salvation.' Perhaps this is also what the horns mean here in the description of the tabernacle. The altar was the place of salvation. In later times, people held on to the horns of the altar for safety. When accused criminals were pursued by justice, they sometimes came to the altar and grabbed its horns for protection. You can see 1 Kings 1, verse 50, verse 51, and also 1 Kings 2, 28. But whatever the horns symbolized, they must have been important because the priest sprinkled the blood of their sacrifices on them. You can see Exodus 29:12. Early in the history of God's chosen people, Scripture reveals the significance of an altar and a sacrifice as a requirement for covering sin. God gave Moses detailed instructions regarding the bronze altar because he knew it would portray his son's sacrifice for our salvation. Tony Merida gives an additional spiritual application of the bronze altar. The altar was not permanently fixed, for it had poles like the ark and the table so that it could be moved. God had promised to live among his people. When they traveled, God went with them. God's people were desperate for his presence to go with them. God travels with his people. What a blessing! Even greater is this truth today in the new covenant. Hebrews 13:5 tells us, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Over the next 2 days, we will examine the sacrifice on the altar and the fire under it as we continue to flesh out a complete understanding of the bronze altar. But in our brief journey into the tabernacle, we have discovered two primary truths. First, to encounter God's presence, you must enter through one gate. Second, shortly after entering, a blood sacrifice must be offered for the atonement of your sins. Some questions to consider. Why is it important that the bronze altar sits closer to the east gate than to the holy place? What comes to your mind spiritually when considering an altar? How do the details of the tabernacle reveal God's great desire to make himself known? Thank you for joining us. Have a great day.